Scripture readings today is Isaiah 7 verses 1 through 9 and Matthew 1, 18 through 25. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzzah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower him. Now the house of David was told, Abraham has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool, on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood. Because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it among ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord said. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Abraham is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. Do not stand firm in your faith. You will not stand at all. Matthew, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in his dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. We ask God to bless these words to our hearts and our minds.
Well, Dawn shared a reading from the prophet Isaiah and the continuation of the story of the birth of Jesus Christ as written by Matthew. Let me share a reading from another prophet, Zephaniah. Those who live beyond the rivers of Ethiopia will come with their offerings, asking me to be their God again. And then you will no longer be ashamed of yourselves, for you will no longer be rebels against me. I will remove all your proud and arrogant from among you, and there will be no pride or haughtiness on my holy mountain. Those who are left will be the poor and the humble, and they will trust in the name of the Lord. They will not be sinners full of lies and deceit. They will live quietly in peace and lie down in safety, and no one will make them afraid. The words of the prophet Zephaniah. Well, the Reverend Joshua Wagner told a funny story during the 8 a.m. Mass at St. Dominic's Catholic Church on the Near East Side of New York. And so I happened to see it. I thought I would paraphrase it a bit, but share it with you. Wagner, who was in his 30s, spoke of being a young boy eager for a Transformer action figure one particular Christmas. His parents had a rule that he couldn't get out of bed until 5 a.m. And then he had to wake them up and go and open gifts. But the young boy couldn't stand it. And so at 4 a.m. he snuck down to the tree to have a look. And he remembered that the tree was beautiful. It was all lit up, and it was surrounded by presents. Some were obviously socks and underwear. But he looked at one promising box marked "To Joshua." And against his better judgment, he peeled back a little bit of wrapping paper. And he saw that he had received Decepticon. I guess it's a Transformer thing. But it was just what he had hoped for. Thrilled, he put the wrapping paper back together and snuck back upstairs. And about an hour later, he woke up his parents, and they all headed downstairs. And much to their surprise, they found a note from Santa that explained that because Joshua had peeked at his toy, Santa had taken back all of the presents. Well, Joshua began crying, but it all turned out to be a prank by Joshua's brother, who had seen him peeking and had taken all the presents away. But they were soon brought back out. And Reverend Wagner reminds all of us that during Advent, Christians wait in eager anticipation for that gift of Christmas, that coming of Jesus. But unlike toys, it's okay to peek. It's because God wants us to anticipate, and it's a present He'll never, ever take away from us. Let us pray. Lord, be with us this holiday as you have every holiday before. Help us to be patient, to grasp firmly the joy around us, even if it isn't quite as we anticipated it in our dreams. For there's a magic in the Christmas story, and we know following you, we will always get to peek at that magic. For your love is everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Well, welcome. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent. We are just around the corner from Christmas Eve. And as we continue in that anticipation, we lit the angel candle today. We've lit the candle for the prophets. We've foretold the story of the Messiah. We've lit the candle for Mary and for Joseph. And we've lit the candle for the shepherds who would watch and visit. All of this foretold, all of this participated in by the angels. The angels calmed the fear of Joseph. They shared visions with Zechariah, and they told him that he and Elizabeth would welcome a son named John the Baptist, even in their advanced age. They visited the shepherds, and they told them the good news and pointed them toward the stable. And the angels were at the stable as well. And that's why we sing, "Hark, the herald angels sing." They are part of the story in every step. But before the angels, the prophets themselves shared the visions to prepare the Jewish community, urging them to be ready for when the Messiah would arrive. Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, plus all the prophets in the book of 12, from Hosea to Malachi, each laying the groundwork in their own way for this arrival. So when you think of a prophet, what do you think about? What do you think they looked like? What do you think? They were tall or short? How would you know? How would you know if you found one? How would you recognize him or her? Did they hang a sign outside of their door that said, Isaiah, prophet of God, Jeremiah, I speak to the Lord? No, there were no signs. There were no name tags. Wasn't even a collared shirt. Mm-mm. There was no selfies. There was no Instagram. There was no Facebook site that said, welcome to Zephaniah's world. There was no job description. There was no paid position, no desk at the temple. They labored and they shared what was shared with them. And they did it with no name badge, with no office. They were simply Isaiah or Zephaniah. Probably sometimes that crazy Isaiah and that really weird Zephaniah. Want to hear a wild story? Go on down the street. Talk to that soft-headed Malachi. I suspect they were not always seen as the most normal person on the block. And they were not given the title of prophet. You see, the title of prophet is bestowed historically. They almost always are recognized in retrospect or posthumously. At the time they labor and share their visions and thoughts, they labor without a title or a position or an office of prominence. They're mere mortals sharing a story with anyone who will listen. Now, maybe a modern-day prophet would be Alexander Solzhenitsyn. He was a Russian citizen who spoke out about economic oppression, and he traveled widely in Russia and the world sharing his thoughts. But he's also persecuted, and his words really didn't gain prominence while he was still alive. Or Martin Luther King, or Nelson Mandela, who spoke and wrote against racial inequality and oppression. Those who speak for a group of people, exposing to the remainder of society a plight that needs to be considered. Their voices also bring hope to that part of the population. What is the role of that prophet then? Well, their primary role is to make the word of God known. Also, you're often calling people to obedience to God. Usually they are denouncing some kind of injustice, some kind of idolatry, some kind of empty ritual. Doesn't necessarily make you very popular. They're often mocked. It's often dangerous. They can be imprisoned or persecuted because they're not teaching what the strongest in society want taught. They're daring to call out some of our gaps. And they do this work in an effort to cast some light on the things that society needs to work on. So it was through the prophets in the first century that the Jewish people processed their experiences in Nazareth and analyzed their beliefs of this coming Messiah. The arrival of Jesus Christ. It was a moment in which the teachings of Judaism that a Messiah would come began to take shape. It's a little bit, as they looked at this coming of Messiah prophecy, it's a little bit like being 25 and thinking you know what it's like to be 75. You don't have the experience, you don't have the context, and you don't really know what it's like to be 75 till you're 75. But ask any 25-year-old in my family, they can tell you what it's going to be like. And they can tell me exactly what I should do and how I should do it. And I probably did that when I was 25. So I just smile at them and say, okay. But it is the same way that the prophets worked. They were telling a story that people didn't have the experience or the context to completely gather in. They knew that a Messiah would come, but they didn't know what that meant. They didn't know how this could be. They didn't know what a Messiah would look like. Could it really be this baby? Well, it's not what I thought the Messiah would look like. I thought when I listened to what Isaiah wrote, it was going to be a bigger deal. How could a Messiah come as a baby in such humble circumstances? And why did the writers of Matthew and Luke write a story like this with these kinds of characters, donkeys and doves and angels and shepherds, babies? So I can only imagine that the first century Jewish folks would be saying, how could this be true? It's difficult. It's difficult when we don't have the stories we think we need to validate either the scientific or embrace the truth. And so first century Judah struggled to celebrate the birth of this baby. For us, the stories help us embrace the story, but we're in a different place than first century Judah. And as Matthew wrote, this is the gospel that we use this year. There's a different viewpoint in Luke, but from Matthew, we get the focus on Joseph. Joseph, who the angel visited. God didn't send Joseph a text. God didn't send Joseph an email. God didn't send Joseph a Christmas card or stone tablet. God sent Joseph an angel, a fearsome angel, who would share with him the expectations God had of this situation. And after listening to the angel, Joseph slept. And then followed the counsel of the angel. And the gospel writer Matthew ensures a beginning of a story for this man called Jesus Christ, who would become a great teacher, so that we can see a small baby, a helpless baby, enter a world full of endless challenges, then strife, grow into a man and a teacher. It provides a link to the prophet's visions. And it provides us a beginning that we can all relate to, the birth of a baby. And so throughout the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the writers share with us stories of a marvelous teacher, stories that we can continue to read and study and model in great gratitude for God's care of this world. A world that is much like Jesus' world, full of distractions, full of challenges, but that we work hard to make a better world and anticipate will be a better world. So as we continue in the Bible from the prophets to the Gospels, which begins that foundation for Jesus, we move next into the teachings of later church leaders, the most prolific of which we know is the Apostle Paul, who established a lot of churches. And in Romans 1:1-7, the Apostle Paul writes this. I, Paul, am writing this letter. I serve Jesus Christ. I have been appointed to be an apostle. God set me apart to tell others his good news. He promised the good news is about God's Son. He was born into a family in the line of King David. By the Holy Spirit, he was appointed to be the mighty Son of God. God did this by raising him from the dead. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We must invite all to obey God by trusting in Jesus. We do this to bring glory to Him. You are among those Gentiles who are appointed to belong to Jesus Christ. And I am sending this letter to all of you in Rome. You are loved by God and appointed to be His holy people. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. You see, the Apostle Paul kind of wraps it all up for us. There was a prophecy. There was a baby. There was a teacher. There was a crucifixion. But it was all to bring much better things to everyone, to bring love to the Empire of Rome. Paul had studied all the information that was available to him. We know Paul was a persecutor of Christians for many years of his life until he converted and became a very prolific evangelizer. You see, God called Paul to evangelize and to teach, and that catapulted Paul into the highest teaching work, traveling journey work. Oh boy, the Romans don't like me work. Another prophet of a different stripe. But Paul calls us to share this, to share it with everyone, even those Gentiles who weren't believers. Share it with them, because if those unlearned Gentiles can understand it, well, woo, we're making good progress. Step out. Step out in faith, joyfully, with gratitude, and with great love. Why? Well, because, like the Reverend Wagner, they need to see a sneak peek. And that sneak peek for those in the first century Judah needs to be shared again and again in the telling of the story of a baby in a stable who grew into a wonderful teacher. It is a sneak peek that Joseph received from the angels. It is a sneak peek that Martin Luther King and Nelson and Alexander gave us of a just and kind world. Remember, it's all about the anticipation, because God wants us to anticipate. And it's a present He'll never take away from us. So as you journey towards Christmas, as you navigate this last week of busyness and struggles and commercialism, anticipate the best, the most, the just, the kind, the love, the joy, the peace, the hope of Christmas Day, the hope of all 365 days of the year. For this is the story that we celebrate. A baby born, a fresh perspective, a fresh life, a fresh journey. It's all before us. We need only go forward and do likewise. Amen.